Okay. Stay seated. We'll return it over to Judge Jarre on the action item G.
All right.
Oh, wait, go ahead.
Thank you. I have my role. Is there a public comment on item G? If so, please raise your hand or step forward. Chief, I'm seeing no one raising their hand or stepping forward.
Thank you. Yes.
Good afternoon. The matter before you is a follow-on to an action item at last month's meeting pertaining to the Improvement and Modernization Fund, which is under tab G. I'll be referring to the displays that are attached to the report, and you'll find you have pink sheets which replace those displays. I believe it's correct to say that none of the numbers change, but the pink sheets have simply attachment labels to them. For those who don't have their pink sheets in hand, I can tell you that the numbered pages, numbered at the bottom, 4 is attachment A, page 5 and page 6 are attachment B, page 7 and page 8 are attachment C. For those who've already intersorted the pink sheets, you'll see the attachment designation at the top of the page. So the Improvement and Modernization Fund, and I'm pleased to be joined, incidentally, by Kurt Soderlund and by Zlatko, who have the depth of knowledge in these matters of a technical nature. It, like other funds, has been drawn down in the sense of historic annually carried forward fund balances. The Improvement and Modernization Fund, in fact, was when things really became difficult in the trial court funding realm a few years ago, tapped annually to the tune of about $20 million as a transfer to the trial court trust fund to assist in trial court funding. That's just an example. So at June's meeting, with that backdrop, a presentation was made to you to alert you that in fiscal 14-15 there would be a likely shortfall between available resources on the one hand and the proposed expenditures out of the IMF on the other. The council took action at that meeting, made some adjustments in terms of fund responsibilities for V2 and V3, for example, which left a projected gap, if you will, of $8.3 million between recommended expenditures, once again, and projected available resources. The council consequently directed staff on a division-by-division basis to do a reduction exercise to the tune of 11.7% across the entirety of the IMF programs supported on a division-by-division basis in an effort to see if we could find a solution to close the $8.3 million gap, which is essentially 11.7%. And to do so in cooperation with the applicable advisory committees and council leadership. And we embarked on that process. The division chiefs each began that exercise with the offices within their divisions and simultaneously tapped fiscal services, soon to simply again be finance, to examine on a line-by-line item the fund condition of the entire IMF as of June 30, the close of this just recently concluded fiscal year, to ascertain if surpluses existed, which would effectively diminish the projected shortfall. That process led, I am happy to say, to a near-term, near solution, a solution that is proposed for your consideration today, which has been presented to and approved by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and the Executive and Planning Committee. That solution also raises a question to which you're certainly entitled to have an answer, which I will also seek to address. When we examined line by line the funds that would be available in surplus at the end of the year 13-14, we aggregated a total which appears on attachment A. If you would have a gander at that, column C, the far right column, you'll see below the beginning balance figure a figure of $3,077,000. You might want to circle that. Immediately below that, a figure of $218,987. Circle that as well. And finally, $4,375,061. Please circle that. The savings from 13-14, that is to say, surplus, not expended, from the 13-14 budget is the $4.3 million figure, something like 6% of the overall IMF budget. In addition, at Kurt Söderlund's direction, staff examined all disencumbered funds. For those of us not in the world of government finance, as I surely am not, disencumbered funds are dollars that were previously budgeted in an earlier fiscal year for a multi-year activity, such that that portion which isn't expended in the year that they're budgeted is encumbered for the following year. And as we all know from the sad exercises that we've had to go through in dealing with the trial court 1% reserve and the encumbering of funds for such things as technology projects and the like, the year of encumbering plus two is all the longer that encumbered funds can be kept encumbered, and then they drop into the bucket, so to speak, to be reallocated to other activity. It was determined that for funds that were budgeted in fiscal 11-12, $3,077,650 became disencumbered for fiscal 14-15, and similarly, $218,987 became disencumbered for 14-15 from the 12-13 year. Thus, the three numbers that I ask you to circle, which aggregate to $7.6 million, as we informed ENP and the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. The details are laid out line item by line item in attachment C. You'll see that the bottom line total, the far right column at the bottom of that two-page attachment, is the $7.6 million that I just referred to. You'll see also that the display is broken out by the encumbered funds that became disencumbered from 11-12, column B, the encumbered funds that were disencumbered for 12-13, column C, and once again the estimated savings from this past budget year. They all total down and across the page. So for those who wish to examine where these items came from, you can do so in detail. You'll see, for example, that in the Judicial and Court Operations Services Division, line one, the overall disencumbered and saved dollars is $400,000. As you go down, however, to line 38, which is the running total for the Judicial Council and Court Leadership Services Division, the number is $1,008,000 and change, a goodly portion of which, as you will see on the very next line down, has to do with dollars that were budgeted in our litigation management program, prudently to ensure that we had adequate resources for cost of defense as well as indemnification that weren't ultimately drawn upon. Similarly, in the Judicial and Court Administration Services Division, at the top of the second page, the total is quite significant, $5.4 million. And you can see that much of that, as you run down the page, relates to tech projects. Now, go back to Attachment A, where we started. There's an additional ingredient of savings that is helpful and only came to light after the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee and ENP met. And that's because it's a reconciliation figure that was provided to us following the end of the month of June by the state controller, which estimated an under-accrual of the actual revenue that came in from 12-13 of $526,296, which you can now circle. So there are four numbers together totaling $8,197,994, which are available this year one time to offset the projected $8.3 million gap between projected revenues and recommended expenditures. What that enables, if you go down on that same page to the bottom to line 28 is an allocation in the aggregate of $71,466,600 with a fund balance left over of $510,229. Not much, but something by way of a cushion, provided one step is taken, which I'll explain now. If you move to Attachment B, which we have yet to look at in detail, you'll once again find that $71,466,600 total net programs and projects allocation figure in the far right column at the bottom. Essentially, what that reflects is a Judicial Council approved reduction and allocation for all of IMF funds, deleting the proposed reduction, which we believed last June we would have to make, and adding one specific categorical reduction at line 62, which is a one-time, one-year suspension of the ongoing jury management grant system, which will enable us to get to the $71,466,000 number, not curtail any of the other IMF programs from top to bottom, and maintain a $510,000 reserve. The program was first put into place, I say now, the jury grant program or jury management grant program in the wake of the One Day, One Trial initiative of this council some years ago. It was started in fiscal 2000-2001 to assist trial courts in improving their jury management systems, and it's been administered in large measure by the Information Technology Services Office. When the program began, obviously, courts were using outdated computer systems. Frequently, everything was by counter and telephone. This enabled courts, and through the years, 55 of 58 courts have availed themselves of these grants to improve their jury system processes measurably, benefiting potential jurors in terms of the modernization of the communication systems that are utilized and the summoning and delay systems that are put into place to assist jurors in serving. The communication has been streamlined both by way of computer system improvements and obviously voice phone tree systems, IVR systems. Courts have also benefited, of course, because that's freed up staff that previously was manually addressing individual inquiries from jurors by way of the supplementation of automated systems. And ultimately, of course, we've been able to capture more accurate statistical data regarding juries as a consequence of this automation work. It's our view, and Kurt Soderlund has assessed this in some detail, that a one-year suspension of that program, because it has been so long-lived, and because most all courts have at least once dipped in to a grant, will not measurably damage our jury management program, but it will enable us to carry a small fund balance. What that means for the present, should you agree with the recommendation and approve it, is that the IMF-funded activities will essentially be status quo for fiscal 13-14 with that one suspension. It does not solve the problem for outgoing years, however, because fiscal 15-16 has already a projected significant increase in the imbalance. But what it does do is keep us from having to make immediate and perhaps simply arithmetic across-the-board reductions, which will have harsher impact on some programs than others and enable a more rational prioritization process. It also raises a question, how and under what circumstances were these surplus funds located later rather than sooner? And that takes us back to the way historically we've experienced fund balances. Fund balances have always been sufficient in the past so that they can be used in effect as trial courts use their fund balances to manage cash. The dollars would, of course, not be lost. They'd simply drop back into the budget and or the pot, as it were, the IMF fund, and be reallocated in subsequent budgets. But when the numbers are as tight as they are now, the exhaustion of fund balances are as close as they are now. It's necessary that we have a tool that can dig down not at the end of the year when you reconcile, but constantly throughout the year. When the Strategic Evaluation Committee conducted its examination, among its many recommendations was a recommendation that the financial program that we have, processes that we have in the Council staff agency be improved considerably. The Executive Office, once again, Jody and Kurt Soderlund, in furtherance of that council directive flowing from the SEC report, engaged last year a retired annuitant with enormous background, training, and experience in matters of government finance. He was the chief fiscal officer for Department of General Services, for example. Had also served as an assistant director in the Sacramento Superior Court, has provided troubleshooting services to trial courts at our request in the past, among them the Placer Court. His name is Gene Peracci, and we engaged him as a retired annuitant to examine the budgeting system that we use within the Council staff agency with a view towards simplifying it, centralizing it, and ensuring that it's strengthened so that we can timely address the challenges that have become more, shall we say, acute with the diminishment of fund balances. He completed his work some months ago, and Zlotko implemented as of July 1st of this year a new, I will call it as a layperson, centralized budgeting process within our staff agency that strengthens the role of the budget analysts in finance to enable them to much more readily track surpluses as they arise or surpluses as they appear to be solidifying, so that when we come to you again with projected discrepancies between revenues on the one hand and the proposed expenditures that you would make on the other, we can factor in those things that this go-around we only did after the June meeting. And frankly, we're only really able to do after the June meeting. So going forward next year this time, that system will be in place, and it's expected that it will pay those benefits that that we would like it to pay. So there is a happy outcome for this year and our commitment for next year that we'll be able to drill deeper in our projections going forward to assist you in your decision-making. At any rate, it would be our recommendation, and I surely dropped the ball here or there, so Zlotko, Kurt, Stephen, you may feel free to jump in. It would be our recommendation that you adopt the proposal that's contained in the report, which fortunately does not involve an across-the-board percentage cut, but does involve a one-year curtailment in the one program I identified, and otherwise an approval of the IMF expenditures that were previously addressed and concurred in by the Council in June. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Judge Jarre. Very comprehensive report. We appreciate the walkthrough through the detachments. Judge Walsh?
Well, I think it's a great report. It's sort of like we found $20 in an old coat somewhere, and we're better off. So way to go, Judge Jarre. I'd move approval of the recommendation.
Second. Thank you, Judge Walsh. Second by Judge Stout. Judge Herman and Judge Bramlett.
Yeah, I just say that really this is tremendous work by staff to find the 20 bucks in the coat pocket. Particularly grateful on the technology side because, again, 40% of IMF goes to fund technology services primarily for the trial courts in terms of Phoenix and CPQR, Landline, et cetera. So really nice work.
Thank you.
Just a question. It's a procedural question. I intend to vote for the motion, but normally when we receive reports to the council, we usually have an advisory committee that's involved, either TCBAC or TCPJAC or SEAC or somebody. And I know that this came directly from Judicial Council staff. Is it because of the short time frame that was involved? Or?
Actually, you're quite right. Judge Brandlin, the matter came before you for your consideration first in June on the recommendation of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. You took various actions they recommended, including an assignment to staff directly to perform this examination, which led to the new information. So it was for that reason that we reported directly to you in this instance.
Thank you. If I can add, Chief, the recommendation that's before you today was presented to the Budget Advisory Committee also. It was shared with them at their meeting on July 7th. So, and that Judge Walsh can confirm this. They were fine with the recommendation.
Right, it was the good news part of the meeting. How could we forget?
Thank you. Judge Stout, you want to be heard, and then Judge Herman again.
Thank you, Chief. I just wanted to echo the compliments to staff. I think this is an amazing piece of work, and I recognize it's kind of a one-year solution, but following up on the comments of Judge Herman, I look at some of these other programs like Self-Help Center and Self-Represented Litigants Statewide Support. If we had across-the-board cuts in those programs, it'd be devastating to those programs and, in turn, to the operations of the trial court. So I'm very grateful for Lisa's interim relief.
Thank you. I agree. Not seeing any more hands raised, all in favor of the recommendation, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Good news is always welcome here.